folks, if you're thinking about interviewing anytime soon, now is the time to start preparing. Interviewing is not about smarts. It's not about personality. It's all about preparation in the modern age as more and more companies use more and more tools to separate the wheat from the chaff. Our interviewing series is over 50 podcasts that go through in detail every step of the interview, how to prepare, how to dress, resumes, cover letters, how to chit-chat, how to answer tell me about yourself and your leadership style and significant accomplishments with repeated examples, how to close, how to ask questions, how to follow up, everything in enormous detail because we know interviewing for most people is a black box. Come and check it out.
Welcome to Career Tools. Preparing a resume for a recruiter. Here we go. Well, Wendy, thank you for the honor of being on Career Tools with you.
I hope you're going to live up to the, you know, the quality that we have here on Career Tools.
I think it's going to be tough, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try. So today we're going to talk about resumes and recruiters, and we hear this often. I hear this quite a bit, right? People just rebel at our guidance about a one-page resume, and one of the reasons they give us is, well, my recruiter wants a three-page resume or a two-page resume. And there are reasons they ask, and it would help people to understand what those reasons are.
Yeah. So in this class, we're going to talk about what the goals of the recruiter are, and what you can do to your resume to help them meet their goals, which usually means you get yours too. And it's quite different from if you're giving your resume directly to a hiring manager. A hiring manager's goals and a recruiter's goals are quite different. And that's why they often say, can I have a longer resume?
Well, it always makes sense to understand the person on the other side, what their needs and wants and desires are. So your desire is to get a job and their desire is for you to make it easy for them. What's the outline of what we're going to talk about today?
So we're going to talk about giving them great accomplishments to choose from, including something unique and being flexible.
Okay. So give them great accomplishments to choose from. And I imagine this is the root of the problem of a one-page resume for a recruiter. Right. The problem is that you have picked and chosen the accomplishments that you want to present for the job you're looking for. And the recruiter has an idea of what they're looking for. And they want a cornucopia of ideas from which to choose from. Right. And the one page resume, many recruiters rebel against that for that reason. Is that accurate?
Yeah, exactly. So when a recruiter has a job that's been given them to them for a hiring manager, they don't just send one resume. For some reason, you always send odd numbers. So they send 3 or 5 or 7 or 9, depending on what the job is and how many there are and what kind of level it is.
Now, is that a rule that you recruiters have? You it's got to be an odd number?
I don't know why. I don't think I was ever told that, but everybody else around me did it, so I did it too.
All right. Good to know.
It's just weirdness. And so as a recruiter, when you're presenting 5 resumes, say, you don't want them to all look the same. If you imagine going to a car lot and all the cars are exactly the same, then it's just I'll have that one, right? Because they're all the same and it makes no difference.
I'll have the black Ford, please.
Yeah, exactly. But the recruiter doesn't want that, though. He wants the hiring manager to engage with the resumes and begin to see them as people because then they are more willing to interview. And so what the recruiter wants to do is make each resume slightly unique or have a different emphasis. So, for example, one person might have experience in the right industry. Another person might have worked in small companies. Somebody else might have gone to the same school as a hiring manager. And there's thousands of qualified accountants, but you want to kind of narrow it down so there's some kind of connection with the hiring manager that you're sending it to. And so what the recruiter wants is lots of information so that they can choose, so that your resume slightly stands out from the others, because otherwise there's no value in their role, because all it is, you know, picking from 10,000 black Fords.
Well, okay, I have a ton of questions that could take us in all sorts of different areas. So Like, for example, one of them would be, well, I consider myself a hauler, right? I'm good at, I can take a heavy load and I can go long distances, right? And the recruiter decides, and I have some things in my background that suggest that I'm fast as well, right? I'm a sports car. And so the recruiter wants to sell me as a sports car where I think I'm a truck. Anyways, we'll talk about that at some point in the future. And the question, how much control do I have over that and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think if you're working with a good recruiter, so someone who's had at least an hour interview with you as you've gone on their role, somebody who's keeping in touch with you, somebody who is explaining what they're sending you forward for and so on, I think you can let them sell you in as a sports car, because if you get an interview, that can only be good for you. And sometimes a job isn't what it's billed to be. You know, when you meet the hiring manager, often the story changes. And maybe you'll end up doing mostly hauling, even though you got sold in as a sports car.
Yeah, I guess at some point, if you're working with a recruiter, hopefully you've done your due diligence and you believe the recruiter is the best you can get and has qualifications and skills necessary to land you the job. So at some point, I guess you got to trust your recruiter.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the whole trust thing. All right. Okay. It works for some people. Just not me. Kidding. Okay. Okay. I took us on a tangent. Sorry.
That's okay. So to make the kind of choices that the recruiter wants to make in order to present the resumes that they're going to present, they need to know a lot about you and your experience. And they ask for longer resumes so that they can find the aspect to emphasize for the hiring manager. And it's just like you do when you're submitting resumes directly to a hiring manager, or you're giving it to your contact or anyone else who needs a copy of your resume. You always tailor it to what you think that person is looking for, which does not mean faking it. For instance, if you're an accountant and you know the person has a need for somebody who's got foreign exchange experience, then that's the first bullet that you have on your resume, you know, under your most recent job. Whereas if you knew that the person wanted experience with SAP, then that would be the first bullet, assuming that you have both of those experiences. And so what you do then is you work from your career management document that has nearly everything on it, and you pare it down to a one-page resume. And in this case, if you're working with a recruiter, you pare it down so there isn't too much chaff on it, but they're going to do the picking in the same way you would do the picking. They're going to do the picking. And like you say, you have to trust them to do that.
Right. Okay.
It's not that the one-page resume is wrong. It works 90% of the time for 90% of the people. And recruiters are just a special case that if you're working with a recruiter, they want something different because their goals are different. And so one of the other things you want to do, and this is common across all resumes, but particularly for recruiters, when you have a list of accomplishments, you want to show how they're different from each other. So, for example, if you're a project manager and you had four projects, every project has on time, on scope, on budget. But what you want to show is not that you completed four projects on time and on budget, but they were different things. So, for example, you could have an accomplishment with money that you saved, that you can have an accomplishment describing a project that describes the big team that you managed. You could have another one that talks about time and the fact that you were ahead of time or exactly on time. You might have worked with customers or outside authorities, and then that would be a different aspect of a project. So you want to have those different aspects because you don't know which one is going to be important in what the recruiter puts forward to the hiring manager.
Right. So the recruiter may feel that, for example, this particular client of theirs, savings and concern and attention to budget is terribly important. On the other hand, they may, for a different client or for a different position they're submitting you for, they may, the ability to get things on time, done on time, might be what the client is really focused on, or a thing that the recruiter wants to highlight in your particular resume.
Exactly.
You got to give them a wide range of things to pick from.
Yeah, some variety.
Okay. So that kind of explains why a one-page resume may not work for some recruiters.
Yeah, hopefully that will make sense now when people are asked for multiple page resumes or the recruiter says this is too short. That's usually why.
Okay.
Okay, so recruiters look through hundreds of resumes in a day, and a recruiter can easily go through 100 resumes in 20 minutes.
100 resumes in 20 minutes?
Easy. Easy. And they, you know, they see these articles that say recruiters only spend 6 seconds looking at your resume. And then there's outrage that they aren't giving the resumes the care and attention that the people who send them in feel they deserve.
They have no choice, right? I mean, that's part of the problem.
Well, that's true. And it's also that's the basic building block of their job. If you're not good at scanning resumes, you might as well not bother. It's like if somebody gave you a report to read and you took 10 minutes to read it and you said, okay, I understand that and now we can move forward. And the person said, no, you can't possibly have understood it in this time. Go and take 2 hours. And when you've taken 2 hours, come back. You would be insulted. You know, programmers who are really good program quickly. Accountants who are really good can run a P&L really quickly and look at it and go, okay, I know exactly what's going on with this company.
Recruiters aren't mean.
No.
And it's not that they don't want to give you the attention that you feel you deserve. It's just they're good at their jobs, and scanning these resumes is, I guess what you're saying is a basic professional requirement for their job position.
Exactly. And people take it personally. And I'm sure if we turned it around on whoever's listening their job and said, okay, so your basic part of your job, you should do 3 times slower, they'd be like, what? That makes no sense. But for recruiters, somehow we think that if they go more slowly, it's better.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm starting to understand where we're going with include something unique, because if every resume looks the same, right, in 6 seconds, you want to stand out somewhere.
Exactly. So the first thing you do as a recruiter when the job comes in, even while you're still talking to the hiring manager about the role, is start going through your mental Rolodex and thinking, okay, who have I got that would work? And then that brings up questions that you want to ask the hiring manager. So you might remember Bill, and he has that foreign exchange experience. So you would say to the hiring manager, hey, I'm thinking of a candidate, he's got foreign exchange experience. Would that be a plus? Is it something you're looking for? Or is it a nice to have? Or do you not care? And so then that helps you rule in and rule out different skill sets. And so you have to have a number of resumes in mind. And you usually can kind of come up with about 10 for any one job, which are your most valuable candidates who have particularly strong experience or have worked at really good companies. And then what you do after that is go through the database. And for everyone who thinks that the database is like Google, it really isn't. you type in some terms and 400 resumes come back. It's really not specific. That's another reason why you have to be able to do 100 resumes in 20 minutes, because you have these vast results because of the way that resumes are written and the way that search engines work and all that kind of stuff. So you'll come back with a whole bunch of resumes.
Let's say, would they send 7 resumes maybe to a hiring manager? So they're going to go through this database and they're going to try to pick out 7 from the database to send?
No, you probably pick out a few more than that. So maybe 3 times or 4 times as many. So 7, maybe 21, 28,
okay,
somewhere
all right
in there. Because you want to look at them together and just do some comparison and some thinking about what exactly the hiring manager wants and what other things you know about the environment and their competitors and stuff like that. So there isn't an instant pick of the first, these are the 7 I'm going to send. You go through the 400 and you remind yourself about different skill sets and you probably pull a few more. If you're a good recruiter, you should have a bunch more good resumes than you have, than you need to send to the hiring manager.
Now, and part of these, say these 20, 21 for the 7, ultimately, they're going to send to the hiring manager. I assume the people that were in their mental Rolodex, like the first few they picked out, right? They knew about those go in that list, right? Those that goes in that group. So
yes,
the obvious thing for me is like I want to be in the mental Rolodex and not just in the database, right?
Yeah, you do. You want to be in those first few that they think of, especially if they're talking to the hiring manager and they're saying, okay, well, I'm thinking of Bill. He's got this, this, and this. Would that be good? And the hiring manager says, oh, I'd really like to see his resume.
And so he's going. He's one of the seven, right?
Bill's in. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So this is hard. Like, I don't want people to make things up to be unique. So I'm going to give you a bunch of suggestions and maybe that will give you something to work from so that you remember something unique. So for example, because I spell my name slightly strangely, people always remember me. Even if I just sent my resume into an agency and I'm following up with a phone call, they're like, oh, I saw you. You spell your name strangely.
That's not why they remember you. And you just just saying. We can talk after the podcast about that.
Yeah, we should. Right. Feedback. But a candidate might be remembered because they worked in a certain industry, or they had an interesting job title, or they worked on some mammoth project. And the mammoth projects don't need to be, you know, I installed an IT system for 14,000 people across 7 countries. If you're an office manager and you organize the office party for 400 people, that's your mammoth project. It's all relative to the job that you have. And so if you're the office manager, hopefully you had an interesting theme, or you went somewhere memorable, or you had a guest that was memorable. And those things, try and work them into the accomplishment so that there's something about you that kind of comes back.
Okay, so we're not talking wacky stuff. I can, you know, hum the national anthem, run it. I know that commercial that's on TV here lately about a marathon runner who juggles while he runs his marathon, right? We're not talking wacky stuff. We're talking memorable stuff related to the work you do.
Exactly.
We have listeners who are marathon runners who juggle for 20
minutes. Yeah, that's an amazing accomplishment, but it's not the right one for this.
I'm in awe, but that's not something you would include in your resume unless you are being hired by a company that hires people who juggle and run marathons.
Exactly. And so it's not hobbies, it's not charity work, it's not things that you do on your off time. It has to be something related to the work that you do. Speaking a language while you're working, living in another country, working at particular companies. If you have worked at the best company in your industry, or even one of the top three, that's more memorable. If you've got a job through an interesting connection and that came up in the conversation with a recruiter, then that would be memorable. So it's just a case of looking at your resume and thinking, okay, if I didn't know me, what would be the thing that people would ask about? Hmm. Like, I mean, if you've got experience at Google, everybody wants to talk to you about what's it like to work at Google.
Right.
So it's kind of things like that. And then you make sure that it's in your cover letter or your cover email, and or it comes up in the conversation with the recruiter.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be in the resume per se, right? It could be, like you say, it could be in a cover letter, come up during a conversation, right? So it's not like you have to, it has to be in the resume. Is that right?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. Usually you can kind of make the two match somehow. Okay. Because when the recruiter looks at a resume, that's what they remember. So it would be good to have it in the resume, but you don't have to.
Right.
Unfortunately, if you're writing a longer resume, you have space to do that because it's only one line in 2 pages, because every accomplishment is only on one line. So gotcha. You can give it over to maybe something that isn't as impressive, but is something memorable.
Okay. So for recruiters, there might be reasons to give them, and many of them want it longer than one page. You have more space, so you can put things like this in there. Okay, so your third point was be flexible. What do you mean by that? I mean, we all think we're flexible, so explain it in the context of this
yeah, thing. Not the yoga context. So I said earlier, the one-page resume is the most effective resume to have, and we're never going to stop saying that because we're right, and everybody else will eventually come around to our way of thinking. That said, if the person between you and a job wants a longer resume, whether it's for good reasons or bad, give them a longer resume. When we say you must have a one-page resume, we're not saying, but you can never give somebody else a longer one. If they specifically ask you and they're between you and the job, then give it to them. We don't want to tell you, no, you can only have a one-page resume, and if that loses you the job, well, whatever, don't blame us. We're not saying that at all. Don't cut off your nose to spite your face. If they want 2 pages or 3 pages or 7 pages and they stand between you and the job, give it to them.
Right. Yeah, and I suspect that the work you had gone through to create the one-page resume means you've really thought about the position, what the requirements are, what your, you know, skills and characteristics, traits, abilities, all that kind of stuff. You've thought about that, and you have the core ones in there, right? So
yeah,
you can make sure those are highlighted and those are prominent. And if the recruiter wants you to add more, like adding them below the kind of the key ones, I guess my point is that going through all the work and identifying those key ones is going to put you in good stead, even if it's a longer resume.
Exactly. And you don't want to go so far that you're adding really insignificant accomplishments, but it does allow for the less measurable ones. So things like training courses or awards, things like that. And again, they might be memorable. Those things that we would normally say, if you've got quantified ones, go with those first. If you've got a longer resume, you can add some of those in. And that will still mean that you're adding value to the resume. You don't want to fill it with a bunch of nonsense and then go, oh, here's 2 pages, but half of it is nonsense, right? That would just be silly.
Well, cool. That makes a lot of sense. So anything else you want to share?
I don't think so. Are you going to go off and redo your resume now?
I am, because after Mark hears my participation on this podcast, he may say, like, dude, I think I need to look for a new partner. So awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Wendy. That was really, really good. I learned some stuff.
Good. I'm glad. And I hope everyone else did.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Thanks for having me on, Wendy. So long, everyone.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.